What's up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Doves. Your host, Chris Chin, here. Steph Curry is back. And not just back like, hey, he played. He's back like he's Steph Curry. Back like he's a top five player in the NBA, where every possession that he is, I was going to say touching the ball, but not even touching the ball. Just every possession that he's on the floor is just an immediate advantage for the Warriors on offense. And you just see the easy buckets. You see the layups. You see the 4-on-3 play. You see the energy and the hope that everyone plays with when Steph Curry returns. And they almost take out a very hot Rockets team right now, where I think that the Rockets won 6 straight games and they had cruised out to a double-digit lead. And then Steph Curry just kind of does his thing in terms of not even just scoring, but just playmaking and, again, creating advantages for a lot of like GP2 diving, rolling, a lot of just playmaking for that roller. And the Warriors mount a big comeback and almost come back to beat the Rockets. And God, can you imagine if Steph had hit that three at the end? I'm not upset in any way, shape, or form that he was the one taking that last shot. I'm not upset that Steve Kerr did not call timeout with Şengün still on the floor. You do not want to call timeout there and let the Rockets put in their defensive substitutions and take Şengün off the floor. My only issue was that if Şengün is guarding Podziemski on that last play, Pods needs to come up and be the man to set that screen so Steph can isolate Şengün, and then you play from there, rather than Draymond setting the screen with Jabari Smith on him, and now Steph gets trapped by 2 6-foot-10 guys. Also would have been fine if GB2 had set that screen, because that's the recipe that had worked to get them back in the game, and you kind of just play off of that. But whatever the case is, it didn't honestly doesn't even matter whether Warriors won or lost. The night was a win just to get Steph Curry back through the game healthy. Get some life in Chase Center. Get some life in all of us. I think I speak for most of us when I say the Warriors have just been, I don't want to say unwatchable without Steph, but man, it's been pretty rough. It's been hard to get excited for games. You know, before this, and maybe even still, you know, you're kind of conceding, hey, it's probably better if the Warriors end up just not making the playoffs and getting that 11th pick, having a 9% chance at a top 4 pick, and you're kind of looking forward to the future. And then Steph comes back, and that joy, that excitement, that hope comes back into the locker room and on the court. And you just remember how fun it is to watch Steph Curry. And now I'm like, well, I really hope he can find a way to sneak out of the play-in, into the playoffs, where we'll meet the Thunder and give him a little scare. And you're not going to beat the Thunder, but just to watch Steph play an extra handful of games, that might be worth it. Rather, and just, you know, not have a chance at a top 4 pick, maybe pick around 15th or 16th instead. But you get to watch Steph Curry in another playoff round. And God, I mean, just the joy of that is almost worth more than the picks itself. You know, zooming out, more practical heads would say get the picks. I get it. My point is, it is just so darn fun to watch Steph Curry operate. And when you see Steph in a playoff situation and he can ramp up, hopefully, in what would it be, like 2 weeks from now, you know, let him ramp up and see what he can do. But now that I'm thinking about it, after watching last night, 29 points, 26 minutes, like, I mean, does he need to ramp up? Because he looks as good as he ever has. Yeah, I mean, the NBA is just a better place when Steph Curry plays. I know it's because we watch a lot of Warriors here, but man, it's a completely different vibe. Just everything changes when Steph Curry's playing. It just becomes, you know, from an unwatchable team to just probably the most exciting show in the NBA, in my biased opinion. Steph is just, you know, the number one premier advantage creator. And it's just so evident. As soon as he steps on the court, you have one of the top young perimeter defenders in the league and Amen Thompson on him. And yet it's just, the Rockets have to commit 2 guys to Steph at all times, even before he's putting up a shot after 27 games off, because he's just that deadly. And it just commands the defensive attention. And it's just been that way the entire career. No matter who's on the court, whether you have Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson on the weak side, Steph's still getting them the attention and the gravity. whether you're Team USA and you have LeBron James and Kevin Durant on the court, Steph still gets the gravity. It just doesn't matter. It just opens up everybody else. And more so than any other superstar in the league that commands a double team, he commands that double team from 30 feet away from the hoop. And now you have a 4-on-3 with basically an entire half court to play with. And that's why all the analytics show that the Warriors are just, you know, the most effective offense, efficient offense throughout this entire dynasty. And it's purely because of Steph. What you noticed last night is, and as a reminder, is how important it is to have play finishers around Steph Curry on the floor. Very first possession, you know, he screen and roll with Bassey. Who the heck is Bassey? Bassey gets in, wide open dunk, wide open layup. It's just, you know, it doesn't matter who it is. If you just have someone who can finish a play and just dive to the hoop, like GP2, who has been pretty much useless everywhere else in the league. And, you know, he's on the Warriors and he has a role because he plays well with Steph. He rolls off of Steph. And if you can just finish plays at the hoop or make the correct pass with an advantage, that's going to be a very, very efficient offense. And it's something that I look forward to seeing if Porzingis can fill that role. I look forward to the offseason to seeing if the Warriors can add some kind of a rolling big or even a rolling wing that can attack the hoop. Maybe someone, like, honestly, I've always thought someone like a LeBron James, just not the, you know, the talent of LeBron James, but just the style of LeBron, who can finish out the hoop with the best of them and or make the right pass as a roller off of a Steph screen. Find somebody like that, maybe even a 42-year-old LeBron next year. We're getting ahead of ourselves. But my point is, you know, you find that finisher and that offense is going to be as efficient as it gets. It's what you've run with Draymond Green in their entire careers, except Draymond's not, he is a poor finisher at the hoop, great passer out of that role. But if he could finish at the hoop, just attack, you know, one dribble and dunk every time, imagine how many more points the Warriors would have, you know, just by adding that extra, you know, 2-3 finished layups or dunks by Draymond that he doesn't always finish. Back to Steph. I mean, God, last night, it was a hard matchup. Obviously, a lot of rust, and he looked like himself, you know, outside of that first shift where, yeah, he hit the, you know, that very difficult catch and shoot three and, you know, kind of eased into it, got blocked by Durant, had a little turnover in the beginning. But that was like it in terms of rust. As soon as he got back in for his second shift, just kind of gets hot, gets settled in, looks like Steph Curry. I mean, just it's truly remarkable and how natural it is for a shooter to get into the flow of things, especially at 37, 38 years old now. Just get in the flow of things and really just show no signs of rust. And, you know, really, truly only Steph Curry. It's just remarkable that someone like him can just jump into a game the way he does. And I thought he'd show some rust and just really none. More importantly, I saw first step burst, being able to get past guys and get to the hoop. And most importantly, taking contact, taking on hard landings and being okay. Played more minutes than he was supposed to. I think two more minutes than he was supposed to. The truest test that I saw in terms of just kind of how he's feeling was in that third quarter. We had that like kind of wild double pump in the air, reverse layup that he kind of just threw up behind his head and landed hard. Obviously didn't make the shot, but that was where you saw him, you know, try to explode to try to elevate and get a little hang time to try to maneuver in the air. Came down pretty awkwardly out of control, very similar to kind of when he tweaked that knee initially, and he just kind of saw it's a hard landing and it's a kind of a weird impact. And, you know, that's then he kind of gets up and I'm like, oh, is he okay? And then Draymond starts a little scuffle with Jabari Smith and Steph kind of starts walking toward the bench. And I'm like, oh God, did he, you know, is it bugging him? But he stays out there and I let out a nice sigh of relief, and that let me know that Steph Curry was feeling all right. And moments later, he's putting KD in the blender with a little behind the back dribble, step back, hezzy, blows by Durant, leaves him doing the salsa dance, and then hits a floater over Şengün, takes the contact and one, but then misses the free throw. So I guess there is a little bit of rust. And you get your little Steph shimmy. Next time down, hits a step back three, and all hell breaks loose, and the Warriors are back to being the greatest show with Steph Curry in the NBA. Didn't really see a ton of Porzingis Steph dynamic duo action. Porzingis had a tough time guarding Şengün, obviously fouled out early, just really got exposed for what he doesn't do well on the defensive side, and that's just move laterally and kind of defend on ball. You know, he can use his height and be a great off ball rim protector and gives you that size, but personally, I think I'd rather have Draymond Green on a guy like Şengün, on a guy that's a true post guy, just because he uses his lower body. Porzingis does not really play low with leverage, so he kind of gets pushed around, plays straight up. Just, you know, as soon as he's kind of stood up on a head fake, he's beat. So I think Porzingis, you know, you kind of saw the flaws there, but it was also just not a great game for him. So it'll take some time to get used to playing the Steph. They'll start to integrate a little bit more of the pick and pop. And as hopefully everyone escapes this game injury free and feeling good for the next game, we'll start to develop that connection. The other connection, which, you know, it's not expected to be a great one, but it was great to see out there with the two Steph and Seth Curry brothers out there together. A dream come true, said Steph after the game. Didn't look very good together. They were small, undersized. You know, Seth fumbled a ball, a pass away out of bounds from Steph, and it's nice to have the shooting out there, but there is work to do if you're going to put them on the court together. But that's beside the point. It was just cool to see. All right, well, this is just an all Steph episode because we deserved it. We've been waiting a while. I guess it renews hope, like Gotham City without Batman. You know, it's been the police trying to fight these little battles and hold down the fort, but it's not until Batman truly dons that cape that your city has hope to defeat the bad guys. All right, I will talk to you guys hopefully next time. Get another good Steph performance, and let's just see if we can kind of get a little 5-game sprint heading into the play-in here and make a little bit of noise. Until next time, give me a like, subscribe, please. I've been Christian. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.